So Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints and the faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit.
Thank you, Tom. Let's pray, shall we? Father God, we thank you for your word. And we'll always pray that you will speak to our minds and speak to our hearts as we look at it today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in that reading that Tom just read, Paul was writing to a brand new church at Colossae, which is a place in Turkey, modern-day Turkey. And Paul had never been there, he'd never been to Colossae. The church had been established by another chap called Epaphras, who was a Colossian himself. And he'd heard Paul preach, probably in Ephesus, where Paul preached for 3 years. And then he had gone home to his hometown, Colossae. And Paul had preached, and Epaphras' heart had been gripped by the message that Paul had brought. And so he returns home as a passionate believer. And what happens is that he begins a church in his own hometown, the church of the Colossians. Now, Epaphras needed advice because all sorts of issues came up in the life of that church. So he writes again to St. Paul, who by that time is probably imprisoned in Rome. And so Paul writes this amazing letter, the letter to the Colossians, back to him. And over the next 5 weeks, we're going to be looking at sections of the first two chapters of this letter. And we learn from the great Paul's advice to this young, vibrant, growing church. I've called this talk a mustard seed church, because like Jesus' parable, that church was growing in a wonderful way. A seed had been planted, and now something vibrant and alive was growing. And every word and phrase in Paul's letters is full of meaning, and so it's well worth reading them really carefully in little sections, because there's such depth in what Paul says. We need to mine the wisdom that there is here in this letter. And the first thing to see from this letter is that Paul is writing to a church family. He addresses his letter like this: from Paul, to God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. The church is not a building. It's not an organization. It's not an institution. It's not a sort of service provider that gives us things. The church is a family. And the family embraces all sorts of different people, different ages, a wonderful mixture of humanity. And what makes us a family is that we share the same Father, our Heavenly Father. And through Jesus' death and through his resurrection, we're forgiven for our sins, and our lives are just opened up, really, by God. Our hearts are opened up by God so that we can know him as our Father in a really deep way. And Michael was sharing a bit about how that has become true for him. And he's realized just the love of the Father. And what that does is it's like a rock on which we can build our lives. And that's what has happened here. And so they've become a family of brothers and sisters. And we are a family of brothers and sisters and parents and grandparents and children. It's great, isn't it? that we're all together like that. And Isaac's baptism today recognizes that he is part of the family. He has joined the family of God. The family here at St. Francis, but also the family worldwide, the family through the ages, part of a massive family. And we all, along with Joy and Nigel and the godparents, we all take responsibility for Isaac. It's a family that sees him grow and helps him to grow and helps him in his journey through life and into faith. And it's worth thinking about what it means to be a church family for a few moments. You see, one of the reasons why Paul wrote to the Colossians was that the values around them in that city were pressing in on the church, and they were beginning to seep into the values of the Christians in this new church. And that's something that we all face all the time. We face very different values out in the world to the values that we should have in the church that come from the Bible and come from our relationship with God. And one of the pressures, I think, that we face today, really quite strongly, is the pressures of seeing ourselves as consumers. Because if you think about it, in most areas of our lives, we do think of ourselves as consumers. So we shop around for what seems to best suit me. And we go online and there's endless possibilities, isn't there? You Google something and you just get pages and pages of opportunities to buy whatever it is we want. And we look at the reviews and we choose something that fits my life exactly. We tailor everything to our individual needs. And the danger is that without realizing it, those sort of consumer values can begin to seep into how we see our church. So that we go to things that seem to fit us, but the things that don't fit us, we just sort of leave aside in the life of our church. Presumably they're for somebody else. Now, in a big church like ours, there's bound to be lots of different groups which suit different people's needs. And of course, we need that. We need children's groups. We need groups for the older people. We need different groups. And we work really hard to try and make those groups fit and help people with really supportive and appropriate groups. But we do so as a family, so that we all contribute to the whole in the church. We see the needs of the whole church, of every age and of every stage. And we work together to be a vibrant, unified community. What a great vision it is to be a family. So much better than being sort of consumers. We're all a load of individuals. Actually, we are a family where we love each other. And Paul writes to this newly planted church. And as he does so, he gives us three family values that I want to try and unpack today. It was the family values that made them a mustard seed church. It's the family values that made them vibrant and alive and growing. So that's what we want too. Well, the first family value is that they were a family of real faith. Jesus was at the heart of who they were. That's what it means to be a family that is alive and growing and vibrant. So how is your faith growing? That's a question, isn't it, for all of us as we think about faith. How am I growing? What have you discovered in the last year that's helped you in your faith? If you think back a year ago, are you further on in your faith? Or are you sort of a bit stationary at the moment? Or have you slipped back in your faith? I wonder. Are you hungry to hear Christian teaching? You're here today, so I guess you are. That's a good start, isn't it? But we had a men's breakfast yesterday. We had a great talk. It was really good, a really good talk. Are you availing yourselves of the opportunities? Looking for things on the internet that you can listen to from good churches, teaching that you can hear? Do you read Christian books? Really important to read. Do you stretch yourself in your Bible study? Or is it all a bit mundane? Well, we need to engage with faith. And when we do, we find that we grow deeper and we grow closer to Christ. And this is not just a head thing, it's a heart thing. Michael was sharing about how the love of God had moved really from his head where he first received it down into his heart where he could really know it. And that's what we all want to do and grow deeper in. And maybe you're not a Christian today and this all sounds a bit alien to you. Well, I encourage you, you know, it's the most important thing in the world to find out about. It really is. If you think about it, if there is a God, then what could be more important than finding out about him? Because that affects everything, as it's done in Michael's life too. And we can learn from each other, can't we, in the church family? Older people with experience to share. We've got some amazing people in our church that we can learn from. Really amazing people. And younger people with energy and ideas to help us to relate our faith to the world that we live in today. And so we share in home groups and in ministry teams and in prayer times and after church as we share coffee. And it's really important that we're real together, that we do life together, that we share with one another, that we're vulnerable and open. Not just being sort of acquaintances, but really connecting with each other. And that was a mark of this church at Colossae. They had real faith. It was vibrant and alive. Well, the second thing that Paul commends them for is their love. They're a family of real love. That's verse 3 and 4. I always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all God's people. They loved each other. I bought a sports bag in Sports Direct on Friday. Very nice, cheap bag. I'm really rather pleased with it. And I said thank you to the man behind the counter, and he said thank you to me, and we smiled, and we had a little chat about something. And I have to say, I didn't love him. We had a very nice chat, but I didn't love him, because I was a consumer. He wasn't expecting that. He wasn't expecting some sort of deeper relationship. But what is it different then when we come to church? Do we just have a chat and, you know, or do we actually go deeper to love one another? And, you know, in the shop, I didn't suddenly sort of start welcoming people into Sports Direct and say, you know, you're very welcome. There's some lovely things on the shelves here. You know, that wouldn't have been good. And I didn't see that there was some mud on the carpet and rush around and find a Hoover and Hoover it up. And I didn't offer him £1,000 to do up the counter so that it looked better. That wasn't a relationship. It was a consumer relationship. But in church, we're here to invest in a family, aren't we? We're here to be part of a community that really matters. We're here to be mustard seed people in a mustard seed church. And love, investing in each other, is what faith is all, is what family is all about. And that's church at its best, isn't it? Young and old, married, single, widowed, divorced, gregarious and loners, quiet and noisy, everything, a wonderful mix of people, different but family. And it's with, as with an extended family, the young at one end and the old at the other end need particular help from the rest of us in the middle, don't they? Very often we talk about the sandwich generation, don't we, where you're a parent of children and your children are growing up and they need all sorts of help and money and support. That was so felt, said heartfeltly there, money. You know, they need all that support and you need to support your children. But also, for many of us, supporting older parents as well. Well, that's true in the church. So we all together work together to provide children's work and youth work and all those things and pay for staff and to make sure it's all buzzing. But also we need to attend to the other end of our church as well, to the oldest people in our church. How can we support them? How can we give them lifts to church? How can we visit them in our homes? And I think increasingly that's an issue for us. In our church, we need to look to the oldest members who come to the 9:30 service. How can we really love them as we should? Because they're family. We need to step out of our generational groups, out of our generational comfort zones to support one another. So we're family. And when we're running different events, it's really important that we support them as family, like the quiz that's coming up. You know, immediate thought might be, well, do I want to go to a quiz? But actually, because it shows up, like, I don't know very much. But actually, that's a family event. And you turn out, when you're in your family and someone in your family is doing something, you turn out to support them, don't you? Like those terrible musical concerts I remember Jessica being in, you know, and there was a terrible squeaking violins. You know, I didn't go for the music. I went because it was family and you were there, meant to be there, and it was good to be there. So we're family. And when we know that we're family, it's a massively empowering and releasing thing. Because, you see, we could come in here as consumers and think, you know, there isn't a job for us. But when we come in here as family, we all know as family that there's loads to do and we support each other. And everybody can be part. And that builds up our community and it builds up our faith as well. So Paul speaks of their faith and he speaks of their love. And then finally, the third thing he speaks of is their hope. He says this in verse 5. He speaks of the faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven. You see, our life as a church family is to be defined by the heaven which is to come. It's like the very smell, the flavour of heaven comes in to this place. And it informs who we are. We pray that, don't we? We say, pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So with this faith and this love comes a heavenly aroma. When we really dig into God, when we really support each other, there's a sweet smell of heaven about us. And you know, we will be an amazing family in heaven. But we are an amazing family here too. And so when people come in, they meet God through us. And when we go out, we take that aroma, that sweet smell with us. What an amazing thing that is. You know, I believe that is happening because people are gathering here to meet with God and we are growing. And when we go out, we have stories from people of how God is using them and how people are asking questions. Why are you different? What is it about you? And people begin to connect with heaven and with God. So it's faith, it's love, and it's hope. And we are a family that is growing in these things. And that's what will make us a mustard seed sort of church, a growing, fruitful church, a sweet-smelling, heavenly family of God. That's what we want to be. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we do just thank you that we're not just acquaintances. People have just sort of bumped into each other and say a few nice things. Lord, we thank you that we're not even just friends, but actually we're family. Brothers, sisters, fathers, mothers, children, grandparents, we're family. Lord, we pray that you will breathe in your spirit. We pray that we will have that heavenly aroma. Lord, take us and make us what you want us to be. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.